It's good to see everyone here this evening. We're going to be looking tonight at 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13 to start with. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. The Apostle Paul, of course, is writing here. He says, "Therefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. For God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make also a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." In other words, the idea that's found in this particular passage is, yes, we're going to be tempted. Yes, we're going to all be tempted in different times and in different ways and different places. But with each temptation that we receive, God, who is greater than all, gives us a way of escape. He gives us a way out of that temptation to overcome it. Now, Paul warned of the very real danger of falling away from the grace of God. The only way we can do that, if we believe and obey the gospel, the only way we can fall away from the grace of God is by our choice. We choose to turn our way and our back upon God and go our own way. And then there were people in all times of the Bible that did that very thing. And in verse 13 here, it says that God, if we are faithful to God, He will not only make a way of escape, but we'll be able to overcome that temptation and be able to stay faithful to God no matter what. And of course, temptation is something that all of us have. In fact, Jesus Himself was tempted on many occasions. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "He was tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin." It's not wrong to be tempted. Some people have the idea, if you're tempted, then that somehow is sin, but it isn't. It's giving in to the temptation. And so God provides a way of escape so we'll be able, so we'll be able to overcome the temptation that comes before us at any time. But we have to be willing to look for the way of escape. It may not be totally obvious to us sometimes, but there is a way, and God wants us to find the way and escape from temptation. The devil cannot overtake us and cannot force us to sin if we are not willing to do it. In James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, he says, "Be subject, therefore, unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you." Most of the time, people have this idea that Satan is so strong that he can just do anything he wants and overcome us whenever he wants. That's not true. He says, if we're faithful to God, he says we be subject to God. In other words, we believe him, we obey him, we follow him. He says, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have that power, not because of how powerful we are, but because of the power of God. God will not allow Satan to take us away from him if we want to follow the Lord and we try to do so. He says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But notice, God is not going to go away from us. We sometimes go away from him. If we're going to come back and he wants us to do so, we're not going to be taken away from him as long as we desire to be faithful. That's the idea Paul has in 1 Corinthians 10 there, that there is a way of escape that is provided. That we have to look for it. We have to find it. We have to take advantage of that, because God will be with us if we do. And so where is the way of escape? Well, first of all, it starts with Jesus Christ himself. He is the way. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." In other words, there's no other way to the Father except through Christ. He is that way that is provided for us to overcome the temptations that sometimes come into our life. And turning to him in time of temptation will give us the strength to resist the temptation that is before us. Now, all of us are tempted by different things. We all have different thoughts, different ways in life, different things that tempt us to do evil. And so not everyone is exactly the same, but Christ is always there for us, regardless of what tempts us to do wrong or to do evil. In Him is also the way of righteousness. It's not just the way, any way we choose. There are people who believe that as long as we're sincere in what we believe, that it doesn't really make any difference how we come to God, as long as we're sincere in doing it. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." In other words, it has to be in His way. And we can walk in the way that God wants us to do every day if we will seek Him and we'll believe and obey Him. In Isaiah 35 and verse 8, Isaiah prophesied of the coming of the time of Christ. And he says, "And a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed." In other words, there is a way. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about the narrow way that leads to eternal life. He says there are a few that go in there, but there's a broad way that leads eventually to eternal destruction. Well, Isaiah prophesied of that, this highway of holiness that leads to God. And we can be that if we will follow Him, if we'll make that determination and that decision in our life. Now, in first century Christianity, the divine pattern and cause of Christ was sometimes called the Way. That was a name that was given by some. And in Acts chapter 22 and verse 4, Paul said there, in talking about himself many years before, he said, "I persecuted the way unto death." Well, the way was the way of Christ, Christianity as we would call it today. He says, "I persecuted those people, but now I have come to the Lord. I've seen the error of my way, and I've done something about it. I believed and obeyed Christ." In Acts chapter 9 and verse 2, he says there, when Paul himself, known then as Saul of Tarsus, was trying to get authorization to go to Damascus to arrest Christians and come bring them back for punishment to Jerusalem, it says, if he found any that was in the way, that's the way in capital letters there, he says, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Saul of Tarsus had to go to the high priest and the Sanhedrin council to get authority to go to Damascus to arrest Christians and bring them back. Now, not just anyone, I may have said this before, but not just anyone could go to the Sanhedrin council. Not just anyone could go before the high priest and says, "Give me authority to go and do this." So that's how important Saul of Tarsus was as a Pharisee, and one coming up, and as he said later on, in that authority as a Pharisee, when he saw the great light on the road to Damascus. But God provided him a way of escape from what he had been before. And even though later on he calls himself the chief of sinners, but he says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And so from what can we escape? Well, it's the temptation, and we do that by God's grace also. And in Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. I'm sorry, it's chapter 3. It'd be better to read chapter 2. By the grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. That's what the grace of God does for you and me. It gives us the opportunity to see that what Isaiah prophesied of that highway of holiness that leads ultimately to God and to eternal life. His grace not only provides the way for salvation, but the ability to find it and to continue in it every day we live. When we fail to follow Him, then sin separates us from God. That's the only thing that can separate us from God is sin. And we choose to do so. We choose to turn away from God. And ultimately that sin leads to spiritual death, which we means we'll be eternally cast out from the presence of God. In Romans 6 and verse 23, Paul says there the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. That's what we deserve when we sin against God. But God doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to be saved eternally. Now go over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 13. James says there, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." In other words, he says, don't be deceived by the ways of the world around you. You know, sin starts small and maybe not very much. And just a little bit leads to a little more. And a little more leads to more than that. And it never leads back to God until we make a decision that we will come back to Him. And that's our choice. It always has been. And he says, don't say, let any man say, I'm tempted of God. He says, because God does not tempt us to do evil. Now, if we decide we're going to do evil, God will allow it to happen. But he doesn't tempt us to do evil. He always wants us to do right. But we can be delivered, and God doesn't want us to be lost. He provided the way of escape, as 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom glory be forever and ever." Notice Paul, right just before he was going to be put to death, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, the last thing that we know that he actually wrote. And he says in that passage, the Lord is going to deliver me from every evil work. Now, you might think, well, Paul was beheaded. How did God deliver him? Well, that's how he did it. God took Paul home to be with him for eternity. He allowed him to endure that so that he could have eternal life. And Paul willingly did so. God has provided a way of escape from the defilements of sin and the pollutions of the world around us. But he's not going to forgive us if we don't take advantage of that opportunity. He won't force it up on us either way. He wants us to choose his way and to do right. And 2 Peter chapter 2, here the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20 says, "For if after you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them, overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Because it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to wallowing in the mire." He says that's a pretty descriptive terms there. But that's what it's like to be cleansed by Christ, be forgiven of sin, and go back into sin again. And he says that's the way it is. And that's what people do when they turn their back upon God. But by what means can we escape? Well, it's given to us to be able to have that knowledge. And again, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, He says, "For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's how we escape it. It comes by knowing and understanding. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That's how we know. That's how we know how the way of escape works and how it can work in us. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, he says, "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall we not escape and turn away from him that warns us from heaven." In other words, if we turn away from the warnings God gives to us from heaven through the prophets and apostles in the Word of God, then we turn our back upon God. We're going to be lost. We have to obey the gospel of Christ initially by faith and obedience to the gospel, by being buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. But that's the beginning. That's not the end. And then we must then follow the means which God has provided. 1 Corinthians 10:11, he says, "But he will with the temptation make a way of escape." So there is a way of escape, and we have to find what that way is, that we can overcome sin. And God will help us to be able to do that. In Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul said there, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." This is right at the end of his message to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he talked about some would go away from the truth, some would lead others astray from the truth. He said, "You hold on to be faithful." But his last thing that he mentioned to them, he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." So even though he knew that some of those elders at Ephesus, some might later stray away from God and draw disciples after themselves, he exhorted them, he encouraged them, and warned them to continue to be faithful, to hold on to the grace of God. And of course, we have to do the same thing. And in Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, Jesus said, "Watch you at every season, making supplication, that you may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God." He was giving that warning to all of his disciples. He says, "You hold on, you be faithful, no matter what's going to come in the future." And he had already told them on many occasions, if you follow me and continue to do so, you're going to have temptation, you're going to have persecution. He says, "If you'll hold faithful, I will take care of you." And of course, Jesus told his apostles those things over and over again. And the same principle applies to us. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, Paul says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith." In other words, watch all of the time. In other words, you watch for evil, you stand up for what is right, and watch to see what is good. We never take our eyes off the ultimate goal, which is Christ. Paul and Peter use the same kind of terminology when they talk about looking to Christ as the end of our faith, as the one we watch all of the time. Now, if we do that, yes, there will be bad things that happen on one side or the other. But if we keep our light and our focus on Christ, we're going to achieve what we need to do. And God will see by his grace that we do. But why will we not escape? And why will many not escape if we turn away from God? Well, most will not escape because they will refuse to hear the message of God and apply it to their own lives. If we don't look for the way of escape, we're not going to find it. We can't blame God for our failure if we do not search for that way of escape to overcome the temptations of our Lord, that come upon us and that God will help us with. Nor can we blame him when we put ourselves in a situation that we know that we're going to be tempted and we know that we're going to fall into sin. And sometimes people do that. And we can't, as someone said, you can't jump in the middle of a mud puddle and blame someone else because you get dirty, because they did that on purpose. And sometimes we sin on purpose, and yet God is still willing to forgive if we'll come back and we'll repent. There's no such thing as saying, well, Lord, save me from this evil thing I'm going to do or this sin I'm going to commit. Sin is not forgiven before it's done. God doesn't want us to sin in the first place, but after it's done, if we truly repent, He will forgive. In Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus said to the people of His time, He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you? He says, why do you call me Lord and call me Lord all the time and you don't do what I command you to do? That's the important thing. Yes, we have to believe in Him and accept who He is. And that's the foundation of everything else. But we have to be willing to believe and to obey Him and do whatever He says. Many also simply neglect their salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible talks about there, He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? With some people, it's not that they live in open rebellion against God. They just don't care enough about it to hold on to the end and be faithful. And in Luke chapter 14, Jesus told the parable of the great feast, which we actually talked about this morning. And God wanted, the master of the house wanted all those people to come. But some had, they all had all kinds of excuses not to come to the feast of the Lord. Well, you go over to the book of Revelation, and it says there, all that come take the water of life freely. So we can do that, and God wants us to do it. But we have to make the decision. Some live in hypocrisy and will not escape. Now, we look at hypocrisy, and a lot of times you hear people say things like, well, I don't want to go to church because all the hypocrites that are there. Well, we go everywhere else in the world where there's hypocrites also, and it doesn't seem to bother us. But the idea there is somehow it's worse here, but it isn't. In fact, we want hypocrites to be here because we want them to hear the word of God and repent and come back to the Lord. In Matthew 23 and verse 29, He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, just because someone who's trying to serve God sins occasionally, that does not make him a hypocrite. A hypocrite is one who knows what is right and does something different and yet claims to be doing right all of the time. They know the difference and they still do wrong. That's what hypocrisy is. That's what the biblical definition is. Some will reject the way and escape because they are deceived, and they are deceived by others around them, or they are deceived by their own desires to do what they want to do instead of what God wants. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, it says, because they received not the love of the truth. And He explains there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that if we want to believe a lie and we want to follow that and do that, God will allow it to happen. He doesn't want us to be lost. He doesn't want us to sin. But if we want to do that, if we make our mind to believe a lie, God will allow us to do it and also to be lost eternally. He doesn't want it to be. He's not going to force us, though, to believe and to obey. We have to see the way of escape in every situation where we are tempted. But again, it takes an effort on our part. We have to desire to see it. We have to desire to know what God wants us to do. We can't do it without the help of Jesus our Lord. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, three times the devil came to Him and said, Lord, turn this bread into these stones into bread that you can eat because you've been fasting all this time. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And each time He was tempted, He didn't lean just upon Himself and His own strength. He went back to the word of God. He said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And He explained each time. And it's interesting there because even Satan himself quoted from the Bible. But because Satan used it in the wrong way, he quoted accurately, but he used it in the wrong way. And Jesus overcame that by truth and the knowledge of the truth. We need to do the same. Again, we can't complain that God didn't deliver us if we don't make an effort to deliver ourselves according as His will is to us. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, in what's sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Well, we have to make a conscious choice not to allow ourselves to be led into temptation. And if we do so, God will answer our prayer for that. But we have to take time to believe and to obey and follow the Lord's will. And this evening, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, Jesus shed His blood and died on the cross that we could have the promise of eternal life. We have to accept it. We have to believe it. And in doing so, we have the promise of eternal life. Tonight, if you need to come, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.